Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The word appointed for this day is recorded in the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up on the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up with the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Basis for today's meditation, I'm going to read two verses of Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is the text. In the name of the word, Jesus. Amen. As I was looking over this text, it raised my acuity in what I was recreationally perusing during the last couple of weeks. I can't believe the following old topic that came up again. Do words have meaning? Read the article. I thought the matter was addressed, finalized, archived in both popular culture and academia. For me, the subject reared its obnoxious head a couple of weeks ago. There's an article appeared in the Wall Street Journal indicting various sites such as Twitter, Facebook, now Metaverse. And this is what it said, two things. And it should make you angry as I tell you this if you've not heard this before. The article illustrated how, in order to grow revenue, there's a necessity to write words to make and keep you angry. There's a malevolence in intent and design to target both the ordinary and those that are a vulnerable population. Again, intentionally manipulating a reader to anger. Because you see, anger sells, which was news to me. The vulnerable population in this case were teenage girls in Great Britain with anorexia and bulimia and associated eating disorders. They kept feeding them, if you were, information that would cause them to become suicidal. And they made profit from it. As for the second group, it's you and me. Through computer-generated algorithm, they find your political inkling and send items opposite to your view. This makes you angry and you add your own comments. Not wanting to leave the topic of words and meaning, I heard last week from a computer security expert that a number of these nefarious sites, these algorithms, using Metaverse as a platform, actually come out of Russia. Others are acquired from wherever computer algorithms are sold. Another example of words having meaning was on a video someone sent me last week. And due to time, please let me summarize. A senator who must have been Lutheran quoted his catechism on the meaning of being a good neighbor. He asked a judicial nominee before his committee the following question. You don't know me, he said, and yet last year you wrote that I am a, quote, myopic racist bigot. To which the nominee responded, "If I offended you by my words, I apologize." The senator asked, "Do you believe I'm a bigot?" They paused, which did not help the situation. And finally they said, "No, Senator, I do not." The senator accepted the apology and told the attended audience that under no circumstances would the nomination go forward. Words have meaning. In this passage, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah forces us to listen to such words. These words are of hope, words of promise, words of peace. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This is a wonderful and famous text. It illustrates the relationship God has with his children. The accompanying of God's word that proceeds from his mouth highlights with brilliant clarity the fulfillment of promises made by our God. At the same time, this passage is a messianic prophecy pointing to the uppermost prominence, announcing the coming of the word Christ Jesus. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout and giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose." These life-giving words appeal. They really do. They appeal to all humanity on a certain harmonious manner. In this sense, it is filled with colorful pictures cascading across our heart and mind. The words of our God initially form a bucolic picture, and it weaves slowly and methodically. Rain and snow form water, perhaps a bubbling brook of ice-cold, crystal-clear water in a forest. Maybe it's like the source of the River Jordan at the base of Mount Hermon. The words describe the wonderment of water as life-giving. And we know this. We understand this about water. In our limited capacity, we are participants in this beautiful poem. We understand rain, snow, water, the water cycle, the sustainment of life stuff. Who has not been parched with thirst? And bread. Who's not been hungry when smelling fresh bread? It will drive you crazy. The Lord is not talking about environmental science necessarily. That's too limiting. This is not about agricultural economics. That confines the topic and misses the mark. The words of the 11th verse point to the heart and soul of the topic at hand. The Lord God desires to be a part of his people. Sinful and wretched as they are, lonely, despised, and broken. This is a clear illustration where it is all about God's holy activity, and we are the recipient. We hear the word. The word transforms and changes us, no longer despised, wretched, broken, and forgotten, but redeemed by this word, forgiven by this word, forever transformed and changed by this word. This word proceeds from the mouth of God and not a life-giving stream. This word is about bread, but also about the bread of life. This water is about the water of life. These words point to Christ, who is the bringer of salvation. So, not to bruise fragile egos, push over apple carts of sensibility, challenge the human capacity to embrace the will of God, it is, nonetheless, crystal clear. He comes to us with his word, with his son, our Savior Jesus, and gives us life with no cooperation, no mutual agreement, but with his death on a cross. He is the hope that guarantees eternal life. Now, it first appears that this poem tends to go in one direction, water and its course of flow apart from gravity, then the function of water and its usefulness leading to life-nourishing bread. There is a sudden twist. The images of snow, water, rain, plants, and bread they melt away. We're not talking about the general revelation of food and God's hand in it. Instead, these words are profound and they're confrontational, a brutal accusation of failure to live to the standards of our God. But these words are a gift, a deep resonant sense of peace exclusively for the child of God in Christ Jesus. This is about words, the word of life, Jesus, and the creative, life-sustaining gospel of Christ as Savior. So yeah, words have meaning. Yes, they do. Do not misunderstand me. I do not besmirch all humanity in their thoughts and literary expressions, the incredible beauty of poems, music, literature. Nor do I indict all humanity harboring evil intent, attacking the vulnerable and creating chaos as some are wont to do. But we are sinners. We are creatures of a fallen humanity. We are in desperate need of a Savior. Yes, we can harbor darkness and brutality against our fellow man. We are flawed and due to imperfection, lost and condemned forever, and in need of a Savior. The prophet illustrates the promise of our God alone. Ultimately, we cannot with our words save ourselves. In Isaiah 55, it is clear we are only the listener, the recipient of the beautiful redemptive words of God. The words take on life. The words form activity. It is God's Son, our Savior, and His activity on the cross. It is the Word personified, taking action. It is His death that brings about life, eternal life. It's a recall to sit back and listen. I mean, Jesus mandates, he who has ears, let him hear. We apply redemptive ears given through faith. Words have meaning, especially the powerful, all-commanding, creative, redemptive Word of God. It brings about life. The Word is so powerful that even a flawed deliverer of God's Word and promises cannot corrupt or destroy its promises. Luther puts this thought forward in a sermon highlighting Isaiah 55, and he says this: wherever the word of Christ is found and held, that is believed, have no doubt that there the church is, even though he who administers the sacraments and teaches the word is godless and blasphemous. For the word of the Lord does not return void, but bears fruit, just as the rain waters the earth and makes it fruitful. So as sanctified and redeemed children of God in Christ, we see that indeed we are bought with a price, restored under the cross, and called to proclaim His promises. We have a mission and purpose to our lives. There's an interesting passage that holds us close to the promises recorded in Isaiah 55 and resonates with our identity. In Proverbs 18:21, we read, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." We are called as we serve our neighbor by what we say, by what we write, and by what we read. Reach out in kindness and clarity, patience and prudence, authenticity ensconced with sincerity. All the while, by your discipline of speech and action, show the redemptive light of Christ in your life. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, the word of life. Amen.